Raw Productions. What up, sports fans? Happy Wednesday. Welcome to a new episode of the Cinnamon Movie Podcast presents Sports Breakers. This is episode 2. It is Wednesday, March 20th, and I'm your host, Juan. I'm joined with Jay. Jay, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
It's good, man. It's been a what a busy day, busy week, and it's good though. It's a good thing to stay busy, I guess, right?
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, if you guys joined us for episode 1, we talked. We had quite a bit to talk about on Monday. So this podcast will be delivering to you on Monday, Wednesday, Fridays. Unless if anything changes, we'll always update on the social media. So if that's the last time you heard from us was on Monday, or if you guys listen and watch us live on Emiswa Productions YouTube channel, we also talk movies on Sunday nights. You guys can visit us on the socials at facebook.com/ The Cinnamon Movie Podcast. The Instagram is all one word, The Cinnamon Movie Podcast. X, formerly known as Twitter, is CINEMEN. 405, and then some emails. You can email us at cinemen921@gmail.com. So Jay, not a lot going on right now that we didn't get to cover in the world of sports on Monday. The NCAA Men's March Madness bracket kicks off big time tomorrow. So we'll definitely have a lot to talk about on Friday. But today, let's kind of get into the world of pro wrestling, man. Monday Night Raw was just a few nights ago. We also uncovered some stuff on NXT last night. So let's get into a little bit of Raw results. I think, first off, let's kind of talk to everybody about where the initial program, like where the initial show is going towards the product of at least WWE and Monday Night Raw.
It's heading towards Mania.
Right. That's where we're going. But as far as the current product goes, I think this is the hottest they've been in quite some time. How long would you say it's been since you've probably been this excited?
I'd probably say the ruthless aggression era. It has that kind of feel to it. Where the wrestling was good. The storylines were also good.
So Monday Night Raw was last night, or Monday night. Let's kind of talk of some of the results. Jey Uso faces off with Jimmy Uso. They had an emotional face-off and a pretty good promo. Are you excited to see what they might do one-on-one at Mania?
I am.
How do you feel about this program, especially with, like, you can say it's been a year in the making, if not longer.
I'm ready for it. I think Jey and Jimmy can do it. I think they could pull off a classic match, you know, because the Hardys, when they did it, they had kind of a rough match. But I think that Jimmy and Jey can pretty much go for it. It just depends on who they put over. I'd say put Jey over, but they could be wanting to put Jimmy over just to have him over.
And the story and the build to this has been pretty good. I think the promo that was done on Monday night was good. I thought everybody's always, you know, hyping up Jey and say Jey's probably the better of the two. But did you watch SmackDown with Jimmy's little backstage promo with did you watch that?
I did not.
No, it was
you go ahead and tell us about it.
It was pretty good. Jimmy pretty much explains how if it wasn't for him, Jey wouldn't be where he's at. And then it was also talked about kind of how, like, Jey kind of is the one who left. You know, he went off and won tag titles with somebody else. He went off and went to another show. So Jimmy's kind of playing the victim in this pretty much story, I feel like.
He left me behind storyline.
Yeah. So I was pretty excited to see what they're going to be able to do. And I know there's only 2 weeks left to go, but the emotional face-off that they had on Monday was pretty phenomenal. So
I missed that part. I was too busy listening to the Sports Breakers first, the last half hour of that.
Yeah, it kicked off Monday, but
when I started watching is when DIY and the Creed Brothers were in a very good back and forth tag team match to qualify for the 16 ladder match.
Yep, let's talk about that.
And we had DIY going over the Creed brothers, but they set it up for one of those back and forth type matchups where they would outdo each other. They were kicking out of each other's finishers. They were, you know, hitting each other with big moves. And the Creed brothers, they put them over in a loss by just how they presented them on Monday night.
That was probably my favorite match of the night. Back and forth. I love the finish, how you had two like kind of different roll ups, so then it ended with a super kick. You know what? The way they're building DIY going into Mania, though, it feels like they're going to be the ones to walk away with it. What do you think?
I think Finn and the Judgment Day will walk out with it. I just have that feeling.
You think Judgment Day is going to retain?
Yeah, this is just a six-man tag to get everybody on the show that was left off. You know, everybody, you know, that last bit of people they want on the show. Match.
Yep.
DIY is one of those ones that, and everybody's getting a story this year, though. That's one thing I could say. It's like everyone's getting a story on why they're in there. Even, you know, DIY has a story. It's their first WrestleMania ever. So.
And they've been with the company now 10 years, and it's their first. Yeah, that's crazy. You know what, though? I like the build, and I like where Triple H is going in the direction of, like, just everybody. Like you said, everybody gets a story, and I don't know. I kind of wish it happened, like, a lot sooner, but better late than never, I guess.
We find out on SmackDown on Friday who the final two teams are. And then we had also included for that six-team tag match, ladder match at WrestleMania, we had the Awesome Truth defeating Indus Shear, if that's what you, how you say their name.
Yeah.
When R-Truth accidentally covers one of them, he gets one of them's knocked out in the ring, and he takes a move, gets punched in the face, and he ends up covering the guy. 1, 2, 3, oh no, they win.
Pretty entertaining match. I would say this is the lighthearted of the teams that are going into the Mania.
How they played it up that whenever they were passing by Indus Shear in the back, that their R-Truth was all like, man, I'd hate to be the one to face them. And Miz was like, damn it, man.
So like I said, quick, easy, entertaining tag match. Even Awesome Truth have their story. Like you said earlier, everybody's getting their own storyline going into the show. I agree with you. I think Judgment Day could walk out tag, you know, still the champs. Do you think that they're going to do away with the dual belts for this match and debut some new tag belts?
I hope so. I hope that's what the main goal is to introduce those new belts. Because the heavyweight champions is one belt, or the whatever the hell they call it nowadays.
Yeah.
It's one belt with Roman, so, and one belt with Seth. So why not make the tag team titles one belt?
I still think I like the idea of calling them the undisputed tag belts and having the tag team champions on both shows.
I agree.
I don't think the company needs two separate tag team titles for each show.
I agree. I think that. Besides, I always thought how they did it back in the Ruthless Aggression era, where they had the champion be on both shows when they did their first did the roster split.
Yep.
They had the heavyweight champion, the Intercontinental champion. They were all on both shows. You know, they had different challengers.
Yep.
You could have them from Raw and SmackDown each week. But it kind of seems like that's what they're going with nowadays.
What would you say?
I'd be perfectly fine with that.
What would you say they do that, but they also include NXT the way they're doing with the women's tag team titles?
Well, the women's tag team titles, haven't they always been tied into the women's tag team titles on Raw and SmackDown?
Yeah, it's always been tied into Raw and SmackDown, but now they do triple duty. They took away the NXT tag team titles for the women, and now the women's tag team champions go to all three shows. I feel like they should do that with the tag belts as well.
I don't know about that. I think because if you do that, NXT ain't going to have much to fight for. That's just my theory there, is that if you send the heavyweight belts off the main roster, you know, that's
Yeah.
Going to leave them kind of. Oh, that's just my opinion. I think that they should have at least the women's tag team. It's perfectly fine. They don't. The reason why that they're fine is because they have enough women to do it for the three shows, but they have enough men, way more men.
Yeah.
So they can have their own belts for their own show. That's what I feel.
I feel that. You did get earlier as well, Candice LeRae and Indy Hartwell defeated Katana Chance and Caden Carter.
We have Candice being mean to her opponents. They highlighted her being mean to Maxine the week before about how her brother would be regretful or how her brother would be upset at the way she was and her brother's dead. And Candice sat there and said, you know, your dead brother would think that you were this and this. And she did that to Maxine. And then on this one, she was being mean and saying things to the opponents again. And Indy Hartwell was just kind of like, what the hell are you doing? We're just out here supposed to be wrestling these guys, you know?
Yeah.
And it makes me wonder what they're setting up with them. Is it going to be Indy Hartwell and Candice LeRae or SummerSlam?
It's interesting. I think they're finally going to try to develop Candice LeRae into her own character, away from DIY, away from Gargano, and just her own.
Away from the Way, because they were known as the Way in NXT, and with Austin and Theory and Indy Hartwell.
And she can go, so I think it would be pretty entertaining for her to develop her own mean streak and see where they go. You know, every story doesn't have to finish with a women's championship, but I think it would, at least a few single PLV or PLE matches would be pretty cool.
I can see her, since Bayley's the face, she'll be Bayley's going to win the title at Mania. That's my opinion, against Io Sky. And Candice LeRae can be Bayley's first opponent, you know, since she's out there calling out, just being mean and being hostile towards her opponent. She can call out Bayley, like, oh, didn't you used to be a hugger? Didn't you used to do this? Oh, you used to do this. So I can see Candice LeRae being that type of person that develop her mean streak character that she has. Just saying shit that's mean to make people upset. But the match was fairly short.
Yeah, I think it was just.
But it was
did enough
match.
They did enough time with what they needed to show. You know,
and they gave them about 5-7 minutes with entrances and everything. It was the story that needed to be told. Is Candice is still continuing her ways?
Yeah. Let's dive deep into the Cody Rhodes promo. He gives a strong. Slap back promo to The Rock. They bring the moms into it, which I kind of found a little dark on Friday Night SmackDown, but also like a little hysterical. Like it almost felt like that Superman, Batman. You're bringing my mom into it. I'll bring your mom into it kind of thing.
Martha!
So the interesting part, though, is Paul Heyman came out and made a deal with Cody Rhodes that if Cody shows up alone on SmackDown, then he'll let Roman Reigns show up without the bloodline on their face-to-face, you know. So what do you think of the whole Paul Heyman issue? The story, we kind of talked about this on Monday. Before we get into the deeper side of things, the promo itself on Monday, what'd you think of Rhodes on Monday?
I thought Rhodes was good on Monday night. He went out there, talked, he addressed The Rock. You know, he's right now he's at a position where he has to put over two matches right now.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where Seth's at as well, is that they're both trying to promote, you know, that tag match, but then they're also trying to tell that grander story of, you know, I'm fighting Roman Reigns.
Do you like I was gonna ask, do you like the idea of all four men, or at least three, yeah, the three men doing double duty Saturday and, or, you know, Saturday and Sunday? I kind of feel like when I'm watching,
I think it's a brilliant idea. I think it's one of the, the main reason why I think it's a brilliant idea is you have, because for a long time they were sitting there saying that Cody ain't going to be in the main event. It's going to be The Rock and Roman Reigns. I see that for SummerSlam, but for night one to be that tag match, that is huge. And the following night, you probably start off with Drew and Seth and end it with Cody and Roman. It could be, seriously, that main event, because they played it, the tag team title match last year with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn against the Usos. They played that tag match up real big. It's the same scenario as last year, where night one is ended with this big tag match. And how will it affect the following match the next night with Cody Rhodes? And we're back at that same situation. How will this match that happened Saturday night, that Cody Rhodes is a part of this time, how will it end up for him? Because if he wins, it's normal rules. Yeah. If Roman wins, it's bloodline rules, which means the bloodline can come and go as they please and beat the hell out. And I already see Cody having the bloodline. It'll be Cody's and them taking the fall on Saturday.
The only way I can see that working out, though, is if it all ends up for a positive finishing the story on Sunday. But we'll get more into that, definitely, for sure. This, on paper, looks like it could be match of the night, but Ricochet defeated Dirty Dominic Mysterio.
That was a good story there. They told a good story there where they had a promo with the Judgment Day, and they were sitting there talking to JD McDonagh, and they're like, "What up? You lost last week. You know, you didn't get the job done. But tonight, you know, Dominique will get the job done. You guys go out there and get it done." And they go out there and Dominique loses.
Yeah. I'm kind of not frustrated, but I really like the Dominic Mysterio character. And I thought after what he did last year, what he did in NXT, what he did where I think 2023, he had the most matches wrestled besides Cody Rhodes last year. Like, I thought he was going to kind of
have you seen him versus Punk from Madison Square Garden?
I didn't watch it, but I heard it was pretty good.
It is real good. They do a spot where they sit there, each of them gets on the ropes, and they get cheers and boos, and Madison Square Garden was booing the hell out of Mysterio. Dominique, he's one of those one people that right now, if we're going to define which eras we're in, he's getting that type of heat that he can't even open his mouth and say anything. His presence alone is enough to get him booed. I don't know how in the hell that storyline with his dad pulled this one off, but Dominic is considered the biggest. To me, I think he's one of the biggest heels on the card.
Yeah, and I feel like if you know, they haven't been dropping the ball much, but I feel like if they're dropping the ball with anybody lately, it's him. And for the simple fact, like, if you want him to be even more hated, it doesn't matter what kind of match it is, I feel like he should be the one to break Gunther's Intercontinental Championship streak. And I think you could do that perfectly in like a six-man ladder match. That way Gunther doesn't get pinned, and you can still have a heel walk out versus a heel as champion. You know what I mean?
I got what you're saying. On the Intercontinental title, we'll talk more about that here in a minute because some things happen there with that as well. But I see Gunther losing the Intercontinental title in a singles match.
I just don't. But going back to Dominic, what are they going to do with him? You know, WrestleMania is 2 weeks away, and he doesn't have a match yet announced. Every member of the Judgment Day besides JD McDonagh has a huge, huge match, and he's so far.
Yeah, JD McDonough's having a rematch against Ricochet next Monday night.
Yeah, so I don't know what they're going to do with Dominic, and I'm like, man, he was super, super hot last year going into the show, and now it's like
Dominic will probably be just that outside guy for Judgment Day this year. You know, they'll have JD McDonagh and Dominic on the outside. You know, because they're not on SmackDown, are they?
Not really. No, not well.
Okay.
Well,
the Judgment Day can go on SmackDown.
Yeah.
But that don't mean that because they're, like I said, there's still two teams to qualify for this six team ladder match at Mania. If they want to put them in that, that'd be cool. But I don't see them going in it.
Are they still doing the Andre the Giant Battle Royal on SmackDown the night before?
I haven't heard anything about that, but it's possible.
Yeah, I didn't hear anything about it this year yet either. Again, if they throw Dominic in there, I think that's a waste, but we'll see. I don't know. But yeah, like I said, Dominic Mysterio lost to Ricochet. Ricochet is one of those guys who, you know, if McMahon was still running today, he possibly could have gotten cut already, you think?
I can see it. He'd be very limited. I guarantee yeah. he'd be very limited.
But since Triple H has taken over, man, Ricochet has been giving a lot of TV time, and I'm not complaining about it. I like it. I like Ricochet.
Well, that's what the one thing that I'm liking about the Triple H era. Well, let's call it what it is, a Triple H era.
Yeah.
That's what it basically is where Triple H is. This is, if you've watched NXT long enough, while Triple H was doing his thing there with some of these guys that are just now coming up on the main roster, you're getting to see their progression. You're getting to see their storylines continue. And like DIY, I don't know why they're tag teams again, but you know, they feuded like hell in NXT, but now they're a tag team again. I'm a little confused by that one.
Yeah.
But Hunter is always about those storylines and that, and he's not afraid to go predictable. He knows that sometimes the predictable is the match ending. You need that predictable ending in order to advance to the ending to where
you ultimately want to go. Yeah,
exactly. And he's not afraid to do that. He's not afraid to just put on a show and be like, yeah, everybody knows who's going to win the matches these night, but we're going somewhere else with it.
Promo of the night, or at least to me, Drew McIntyre questioning Seth Rollins. I think these two are just lightning in a bottle. And I think I appreciate the whole seriousness of their promo talking about the addiction, because they're still playing with the fire of that CM Punk is going to be involved somehow, whether it be special guest referee or he's just there. CM Punk will be there live next Monday in Chicago. So they keep sprinkling CM Punk's name throughout this entire feud. Seth Rollins talking about how he's addicted to the high of coming out and performing in front of the people. Man, what did you enjoy this promo, and what do you think of this feud?
I think this feud's great. I think Drew's going to win it all at Mania. That's my prediction there, because he needs that win in front of the crowd. He needs to be legitimized.
Yeah.
And I think that's the storyline that they're wanting to tell the most with him. I think Seth's beat up right now. Seth needs to take some time off, because I've read reports that his knees are bad, or at least one of them is. So, and that's why you haven't seen him wrestling that much here lately, is because his knee is bad and they're giving him time to heal.
So that being said, I agree with you. You know, we'll do official predictions and thoughts a week from Friday going into WrestleMania weekend. But I think Seth Rollins drops it at Mania. I think Drew McIntyre I think he does deserve what he's going to get. And to me personally, I think he probably doesn't re-sign if he didn't get this match and maybe an opportunity to win that in front of a live audience.
I agree with you. It was that caveat that I have to win at Mania. You know, give me my Mania win. Let me do it in front of people.
Even if I lose it the next night to Damian Priest in a Money in the Bank situation.
Exactly. I don't see that happening, but.
Do you see, and let's talk about that for a little bit. What do you think is going to happen with the Money in the Bank briefcase?
I think he's going to hold it until Cody gets it, and he's going to be one of Cody's first couple feuds.
You think it'll be a successful cash in, or do you think he'll cash it in at like a PLE, like kind of
he'll
like
cash it in for it'll get cashed in at a PLE. It'll be Judgment Day against Cody Rhodes, because they'll still have a tag team title, so they can go on both shows, and that's where they're going to get their way in. They're going to, because I seriously see Damian Priest being one of Cody's first couple feuds. Like, I'm not sure who's going to be the first one, but he could honestly be the first person that's going to be taking on Cody Rhodes for the heavyweight belt. Because you got to sit there and look at, when you sit there and think about, all right, we got, if Reigns wins at Mania, you got these challengers. If Cody wins at Mania, you got these challengers for Cody. And that's where I see Damian Priest at. He's going to be one of the first couple in there that's going to – they're going to do a good couple three show run with Damian Priest and Cody Rhodes.
So, again, phenomenal promo, Seth Rollins, Drew McIntyre. I like how also Drew is trying to make Seth feel guilty about the tag match, which is cool. The New Day defeated Alpha Academy to qualify for the Undisputed Tag Team Title six-pack ladder match at Mania.
I'm not trying to sound like a dick, but I completely forgot about that match. And while I was watching it, I was just kind of, there. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
New Day doesn't have nothing going for them. If they feel like they're just an afterthought, they were like, oh, shit, we need New Day in there in the tag match. Put them in. Because Raw was a predictable Raw. Every match, you could sit there and tell who's going to win every match.
True. This one, though, even though I knew right off the bat that New Day was winning, man, I found it entertaining. And I got to tell you, Pat McAfee made this match entertaining for me.
Oh, I like that. The big old swanton that, what's his name?
Tozawa.
Yeah. That was just brutal.
Yeah.
He lands on a perfect. Go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead. He landed on Woods, right?
Yeah. And Woods got the pinfall in that match, which I thought was pretty cool. You know, most of the time they try to give it to Kofi, but, you know, this time they just gave it to the Woods. They're like, fuck it, he's over too. Give it to him.
Yeah. What do you think of the belly bump of Otis? Otis is kind of in that gray situation.
The belly bump? Yeah. Oh, man. After they showed it in slow-mo a couple times, that shit looks like it would hurt.
Yeah.
Just some big old 400-pound guy taking his gut and just ramming it into your head. Come on now.
Like I said, I'll throw the match. It was an entertaining match, but Pat McAfee made it just that much more entertaining. What do you think about the direction of Pat McAfee? Like, do you think it's going to be a little upsetting? Everybody's going to be getting used to him, and then come August, he's probably going to go away again because of college football.
That's possible. It just depends on who they're replacing him with. I have no idea who they would replace him with right now unless they went with Corey Graves again.
Yeah.
Because to me, Corey Graves is one of the best. Corey Graves, from night one, I'm serious, from the first night he ever became commentator to now, I've always thought he's been a great commentator.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And I read a recent interview where Michael Cole was like, we can finally, ever since Triple H took over, we can finally produce right commentators instead of making somebody the next Michael Cole. We can just build them up to be their very own voice. And he swears up and down that Corey Graves is that guy to take over his spot.
I agree. If Michael Cole says that's the worst way it's going to be, I'll give it to him. That's a great place to be setting at.
So which now is why you see Corey Graves as the head commentator on SmackDown.
The commentator that I hate the most is Booker T. That dude cannot talk for shit, but they still. They're like, let's put Booker on commentary. I'm like, man, you can barely understand this dude.
You know who I miss though is Tom Phillips.
Yeah, they.
When he was on NXT and it was him and Graves.
When did Todd Phillips?
No, Tom. Oh, Tom Phillips. Yeah, Tom Phillips is the one who just recently had a run in NXT with Corey Graves.
Yeah,
a couple years ago. Todd Phillips, he's from the Attitude Era. He does stuff with UFC now. So I know who you're talking about there with boxing. Before we talk about the main event, what'd you think of the little promos and story of the video package of Becky Lynch and Nia Jax throughout the whole evening?
Well, before we get to that, we're missing the Sami Zayn Walter confrontation.
Oh yeah. The contract signing, kind of, right?
Yeah, we had Chad, but to set the story though, we had Chad Gable and Sami Zayn cut a promo on each other, and Chad basically told him that he doesn't think Sami is good enough to beat Gunther. And they played that up whenever they went out for the contract signing, because Gunther sits there and talks about who he is and what he does. And he's told Sammy straight to his face that he doesn't believe that Sammy has it in him to beat him. And Sammy basically tells him, he's like, do you not know who I am? Look in my eyes. I'm going to win it, because if you remember last year, I went into a match with, it was a tag team match, and I beat the longest reigning tag team champion. So don't think that you're ranked. And he basically tells him, he's like, I took one historic championship reign and ended it. Don't think that I can't endure as two.
Do you see a Kevin Owens U.S. title victory and a Sami Zayn's Intercontinental victory, and they have their moment in at WrestleMania?
No.
No?
Walter's going to beat the piss out of Sami Zayn.
you don't think it'll be one of those Daniel Bryan Sheamus matches where it's over in 12 seconds, do you?
Oh, no. They'll give Sammy some heat, but Sammy's going down. Sammy's going to be losing. I'm sorry.
That being said, if Sammy does lose, who is the guy, do you think? Do you think they already have somebody in plan, or do you think they're just still going to keep rolling with him?
They're going to keep rolling with Walter for now. I don't see anybody else with the – if they did anything, the only – I know this may sound weird, but the only person that they got – because when they had him lose the NXT UK title, it was against a small guy.
Yep.
And Walter had Ilian Dragunov's the one that beat him in NXT. And I could see Chad Gable, them just weirdly giving Chad Gable that win, or at least giving him a shot.
So did they do the – because the reason I skipped over it is I can't remember if the Hulu version had – the Gunther situation in it or not. So that's why I think I skipped over. But do you think they'll make a triple threat, or do you think it'll be one-on-one?
Oh, it's definitely one-on-one, Gunther versus Sammy. That's the story that they're selling right now is that Chad's still upset that he lost his match. And that's why he feels that even though he was just this, real small and close to winning against Sammy a couple weeks ago, that he doesn't think that there's no – basically he says that Sammy finds the window of opportunity, and at WrestleMania against Gunther, there is no window of opportunity. You're just going to get your ass kicked, basically. And Chad Gable basically told him that, yeah, you're chicken fodder, man.
In the Raw results with the main event, Becky Lynch, Nia Jax. If Nia Jax wins the last woman standing match, she gets into the WrestleMania. She takes her spot pretty much at WrestleMania. I think they went at it for a good little 16 minutes.
I'd say so. They went two commercial breaks, because I know the commercial breaks were getting annoying on my end, because I was watching live and they would just get going and then the commercial would happen. I'm like, damn it, come on.
Yeah, we're just a few months away from Netflix, so no more commercial breaks.
Oh, no, that's where you're wrong, my friend. They sat there and said there'll still be commercials, just like on Netflix.
Unless you pay for the $20 version, I heard, though. If you pay for the $21 a month Netflix subscription, I heard there's supposed to be no commercials.
We'll see on that one.
So
how they gonna?
Because, like, Peacock Premium, you don't get any commercials whenever they do their live events or their PLEs. So, but we'll see. They keep teasing the Liv Morgan situation, but this match ended up being pretty hot. It was brutal. To me, Nia Jax and Becky Lynch, every time they go at it, it's always brutal. What'd you think of the main event?
I thought it was a real good main event. Commercials, besides... I'm not a big fan of a match being broken up by commercials, and this is one of those that the flow was broken. You said you watched the Hulu version. Do they have any commercial? Do they have the commercials in the Hulu version?
I have the no ads. So when they cut to a commercial, it just stops and comes right back.
Comes right back from where they were at on commercial. So you got the commercial breaks too, but you didn't have them.
Right.
Here I am live on the night of, sitting here waiting 5 to 7 minutes for the show to come back on. And by that point, I forgot who even the hell was in the ring.
Yeah.
And that's But back to the main event, though, we got some good action out of them, though. They had a last woman standing match. They got about 15 minutes of time in the main event. I have written down in my notes some of the moves that's happened during the match. They might not be in order, but some of the stuff that happened. A Samoan drop through a table. And the avalanche to Becky. Yeah. We got that move. We got the manhandle slam from the ring to the floor through a table. Nia got up at 9. That was a 9 count for Nia. We had a fire extinguisher being used. Every last man standing match has one of those being involved. Becky sets up table. We go to commercial. And before we go, we got Nia slamming Becky to the guardrail and to the ring post. She picks her up in a Samoan slam type position and slams her back against the pole and then slams her into the guardrail. And I thought that was a good spot right there. I thought that was pretty cool. Then, you know, they brought out some kendo sticks and some chairs, and Becky got her ass wore out by some chairs and kendo sticks.
Oh yeah. It was definitely, you know, sometimes you're like, man, these last man standing matches aren't like they used to be back in the day, but lately they've been doing really good. So I was
excited. It's the H, man. It's Papa H. He goes back to that. He's a big fan of that old school 70s and early 80s style wrestling. That's what we're getting with Triple H right now. We're getting that old school storytelling where everybody, if you remember during the Attitude Era, it didn't matter who you were. Val Venus, that dude had a storyline. Yeah. You know, Blue Meanie, that dude had a storyline. You know, and that's what Hunter's bringing back to the business, is that everybody's got a storyline now. And because you were mentioning Liv Morgan earlier, Liv Morgan right now is going after Becky.
Where do you think that ends?
That's going to end up in a match between the two of them, but it's not going to be for the title belt because Rey is not going to lose that belt for a while.
That's what I'm hoping for. The way Raw ended after Becky Lynch wins the last woman standing match with the leg drop off the ladder, she came out, you know, and that's what I'm hoping for. She's still super, super, like, wild. She's on a run. I think she needs to keep it.
They did a pose off in the middle of the ring where they Rhea held the belt up and said, "You're not going to beat me. You ain't nothing." And basically, Becky's...
I even bank on it that Liv Morgan cost Becky the match.
I don't see it that way. I see they're going to have a match, just a one-on-one match, and Becky's going to do the honors for her and take the fall. Because I don't care what you say right now, the best person in wrestling right now is Rhea Ripley. And that, to me, that includes men and women, you know. That's one of the best people going right now.
And just in the sport in general, right? Doesn't matter what company.
Correct. I find her to be one of the best because when they were in Perth, Australia, I didn't expect her and Nia Jax to be the main event. I was like, really? They're giving them the main event? And then they delivered their match, and I was like, okay, that's why she got the main event. Okay, I got you. But she's one of those bad guys, though, that you... She's too good to boo.
Yep.
So that's what happens, is she gets cheered, but they keep her a Dominic, and that's what gets her booed, because that's mommy.
Yep. And I like how they always tease, there's no real leader of Judgment Day. Like, no, that's wrong. Rhea Ripley is the leader of Judgment Day.
Exactly.
So she's overall... my bad, go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead.
I was just going to lean into the grade for Monday Night Raw. Overall, you know, if you watch us on Sundays or listen to the movie podcast, we go with a number grade, 1 star out of 10 stars. I think for the wrestling shows, we're going to give letter grades. So overall, I give Monday Night Raw a B+ for the entire show. What about you?
I'll give you my grade, but I was going to mention that on the live version, they kept hyping it and hyping it and hyping it. Like every commercial break, they kept hyping it that The Rock will be on Raw April 1st. So, and like, seriously, they just kept every break. they'd have that The Rock promo flash by, and they're like, The Rock on April 1st.
And we can cover that just a quick second. CM Punk next Monday, and then The Rock the Monday after that.
Uh-huh.
Huge.
That's how you sell them a Monday Night Raw.
Yeah. And then you have Roman Reigns and Seth, or excuse me, Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes face to face 2 days from today on SmackDown.
But I give it a B plus as well.
B plus for Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, it was a predictable show, but it was one of those shows that had to be done that way. It was one of those predictable shows that had to be done so that way we can get to where we need to be.
I'm going to rapid fire through the NXT results, and then we can just kind of maybe just talk a little bit about NXT and the state that they're in. Roxanne Perez came out to cut a little promo about how she's changed her demeanor. Now she shows a little darker, ruthless side. So you had Roxanne Perez versus Tatum Paxley. You also have Obey defeated Brooks Jensen, and then he came out and had a Josh Briggs. It looks like they're pushing a three-way for the North American title. Obey, Josh Briggs, and Dijak, probably for Stand and Deliver.
And Stand and Deliver's on April 5th, correct?
Yes, it'll be Saturday.
And then like at 12 or 1 o'clock that day?
Well, it's Saturday the 6th, WrestleMania Saturday, in the morning. Yeah,
so it's like 12 or 1.
Alpha Academy came out, and they're going to wrestle Bron Breakker and Baron Corbin. And if they win, they earn a spot in the Stand and Deliver title match. So they're taking a Raw tag team and kind of pushing them in NXT, which I like. Same thing with Gallows and Anderson. They're in the tag team title hunt for the NXT titles as well.
So that's what they've been doing. So see, I just got the way to watch Raw live within the past couple weeks, and I haven't been able to watch it much NXT. So getting to hear this from you it sounds pretty cool that they're using them on the card, and at least you're getting used somewhere. Damn.
Yeah. No, they had a good match. Karl Anderson, Luke Gallows went over. So I'm glad to see that.
They wanted to be unique. They could have one team from NXT qualify for that six-man ladder match.
Yeah, see, that's pretty cool.
That'd be cool if Corbin and Breakker were in that.
Who knows? Like, I almost thought, a lot of people are thinking that they're going to have a surprise team. I don't think they need to have a surprise team. I think all four current teams should be announced before.
Friday night, we'll find out who the final two teams are. I haven't seen. Did you hear what the next two matches were at all? Because I didn't.
We'll try to look it up. I'll look it up here real soon. Tony D'Angelo is facing Dragunov for the NXT Championship at Stand and Deliver. Tony D'Angelo brought out the family and had a pretty decent promo calling out Dragunov, saying, he's gonna, you're crossing my path. You made that sound. Are you not a D'Angelo fan?
No, not at all. The whole mafioso gimmick is kind of just whatever. You know what I mean? It's too gimmicky. Yeah,
it is. I feel like mafia gimmicks don't tend to do well in wrestling. Even the whole FBI or Nunzio stuff in ECW or the Ruthless Aggression era. But yeah, it just needs to stay away. Even when you try to do it super serious, it's still just, like you said, too gimmicky. I think this is just an opportunity that they're giving D'Angelo to say, hey, go out there, have your match of the night, but at the end of the day, it should be Dragunov that still retains.
Oh, Dragunov ain't losing for a minute. That dude is brutal.
Yeah.
I love him as a wrestler. I love that he gets to represent NXT right now.
William Regal back in NXT, and also his son is the Heritage Cup champion, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
What are they calling his son in NXT?
I have no idea. I know they haven't called him Regal, have they?
No.
Any kind?
No, I think
because it's like the Brian Pillman situation where the Brian Pillman son is named something else too. I don't recall what his name is. I should, being a wrestling guy.
Drew Gulak is still doing some pretty good matches in NXT too.
So that's where Gulak is right now?
Yeah. Yeah. So that was pretty cool.
Do they get 2 hours on Tuesday night?
They do get 2 hours, yep. And then the main event was Trick Williams versus Noam Dar. And they're doing Noam Dar. Yeah, and they're doing the whole I think the main event for Stand and Deliver is going to be Trick Williams and Carmelo Anthony because of the backstabbing of Carmelo Anthony. So Anthony's the heel now, and I think they should have probably have matches tonight, honestly.
That'll probably be Carmelo's farewell.
Yeah. What do you think about Braun, though? So Carmelo hasn't officially been started on a main show yet. He's had a few matches here and there on SmackDown, but Braun Breaker is an official member of the SmackDown roster, but still holds the NXT tag team title.
Well, that's the thing. Him and Corbin, that since he's on SmackDown and NXT, that could be your NXT pull-up team, you know, the team that I was talking about.
Yeah.
That on Friday night, that it's Braun Breaker and Baron Corbin against such and such. Because, like I said, they haven't announced who's going to be in those two matches yet. And there you go. There's Braun Breaker and Baron Corbin on your WrestleMania card. Right there. Boom. That's a prediction I see that happens. That's where Braun Breaker is going to get his little time to shine. He'll have a couple spots in the ladder match, you know, show off his strength. They're just wanting to give Baron Corbin something for doing good this year.
Okay, so here's this. The full SmackDown card for Friday that we'll talk about on Friday night a little bit more. Rey Mysterio versus Escobar is set for SmackDown Friday. The qualifying match is the Street Profits against the Authors of Pain.
Ooh, shit. That's hard. Ooh.
Yeah. The other one is the OC, Gallows and Anderson, versus Grayson Waller and Austin Theory.
Oh, there's your winners right there.
And then face-to-face, Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes. So that's the SmackDown preview for Friday.
Well, my predictions is that all right. Second tag match, what was it? The OC against
Grayson Waller and Austin Theory.
Grayson Waller and Austin Theory. There's your winners right there. Grayson Waller and Austin Theory. That's my prediction there.
Do you think it's a given because the OC is now involved with the NXT tag titles?
In a way, but Austin and what's his name is just bigger than the OC right now. Grayson, I'm serious. As far as like overness, the OC won't get that spot. That I look at it from a guy that's watched wrestling for 30 years and has been involved in it. And so these are just things that I would do personally.
Authors of Pain, Street Profits.
See, that's the. I don't know on that one, but I'm gonna go with the Street Profits.
See, I thought they were holding those two teams out for a six-man, let's say a six-man Philadelphia Street Fight for Mania, Karrion Kross and the AOP against Lashley and the Street Profits. That's what I thought they were holding out for. Let's say maybe a double disqualification and neither team advances.
So that means that we would have to set up that six-man.
Yeah. Or maybe you get a last chance battle royal, and whatever team wins that battle royal gets in.
Yep.
So
I can see that for the go. Or maybe see that for the go home SmackDown Friday on that Friday leading into Saturday night.
Or maybe that's where you're like, okay, we're just gonna have a surprise team enter. I don't know.
Fuck it, right?
Yeah.
That's my only wild card on like. Huh, I don't know. They could go either way with that.
Before we get out of here, let's do a little AEW preview. I have the match card listed for tonight. I don't watch AEW. Have you been kind of keeping up, or are you an AEW fan?
I'll skim through the results.
So tonight they're going to hit you. You'll, if you watch it, it should be coming. It's probably already live now, right? It comes on 7 Central.
Yeah.
So main event is you got Christian Cage, TNT Championship, and an I Quit match against Adam Copeland. What's your thoughts on that, dude? I saw their best 25 years ago.
Agreed. Edge, Adam Copeland, he sits there and said he came to AEW to fight all the new young talent, and so far he's only fought Christian. It's like, well, he's been fought there, a couple other guys.
But he's been there. But he's been there since what, September already?
I believe so. And yeah. But yeah, that's where he's at. Is it's like, man,
you got a Chris Jericho versus Hook.
Jericho will make that a good match.
Tony Storm and Maria May versus Peruzzo and Thunder Rosa. AEW Continental Championship, Eddie Kingston versus Okada. Really? You're going to give Okada's first match away on national TV?
Well, I'm just thinking, how is he going to win the belt?
How do you, yeah, that, you're, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, and they booked themselves into a corner in that one.
Yeah. His first night, I guess his first night, he walks away with a belt. But why would you give that away on live TV?
Because they're like WCW in that way, man. That's the way from what I've seen and heard and kind of watched of AEW, it is a spitting image of WCW.
But why would you want to book your show and your company like that when it didn't work for them?
Because they don't know that they're making those same mistakes, bro. That's the problem. They don't, Tony Khan doesn't realize he's making the same mistakes as Ted Turner. You know, they always do these like joint shows with New Japan and Ring of Honor and all this shit. It's like, just stick to what you got, man.
So that's a pretty fun looking card, but I do see, I guess, unless there's some kind of funny business to where the match doesn't even start, you got to give it to Okada, right? First night the company?
You have to, or you make him look like a joke right off the bat.
Yeah.
Because I swore they were going to save his first match to be that 6-man tag.
At Dynasty?
Yeah.
Yeah.
In April, but I guess not.
You know, and I heard they definitely gave more money than WWE was going to give to Okada, but the way Triple H is red hot right now, could you imagine if he just signed with Triple H and WWE?
I was hoping so, man. I really was. We'd have Shinsuke and Okada in the same company again.
Yeah. And I guarantee you he would have been featured in a pretty good one-on-one match at Mania.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah. Give him – oh, Seth – him and Seth.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, Drew McIntyre is cool and all. But if I would have had Okada versus Seth Rollins, I would have been that would have been even better.
I talked about it earlier, though. I mean, just for shits and giggles, what if Dominic Mysterio came out and almost like Seth Rollins a few years ago said, you know what, I need a WrestleMania opponent, and, you know, Okada be that first one. I bet they would have had a pretty entertaining match.
Well, that'd have been a great WrestleMania moment right there.
But
that's a lot of people be like, who the fuck is this Asian guy in the ring?
Yeah.
But those in the know would have been like, oh, shit, Okada's there.
But that's your he's
like, yeah. But he's like Will Ospreay. That if Will would have signed with WWE, just sit there and think of who we would have had him against in WWE.
That's another thing you'll hear from. Ospreay is supposed to have a pretty good promo tonight, from what I've read. And Mano. What is she going with? Sasha Banks. What's her name over there?
Monet. Something like that. I don't know. We'll just call her Sasha Banks. That's who she is.
Did you hear what she said? People were like, you know, what's your thoughts about AEW? And literally, this is after they announced that she was already with the company. She told the interviewer, literally, she's like, I'm going to go back to WWE one day. Right now it's just not the right time. You just signed a multi-year contract with the company. I think that's the last thing they want to hear from you is you're going back to WWE.
You're just holding out and wasting time here. Look here. I'm here 5 years. After my 5 years of up, I'm going back to the E.
So,
but I wanted to prove a point.
What'd you think? What'd you think of, you know, we talked a little bit Monday Night Raw. We'll talk a little bit more. We'll talk a SmackDown preview on Friday. We'll talk NCAA March Madness tournament on Friday. But let's quick thoughts before we get out of here. AEW, is it must see for you, or are you happy reading the results?
I'm happy with the results.
Like just reading it, you feel like you don't have to tune in every week?
I did watch the Sting's final match show. That was all right. It was nothing to write home about. It was pretty predictable who was going to win what. So, but that's the last time I watched AEW was the Sting's final match. Now, I didn't think Sting was going to win, but because they always go out on their backs. But, hey, Sting is different, I guess.
Just a little bit. If you guys want to donate and hang out with us, there's the Cash App, money symbol, CINEMEN405. Donate to the show. Everything you guys donate, we'll put back into the show, whether it be new equipment. So there's that to donate. If you guys want to, every single Sunday night, we talk about a new movie right here on this YouTube channel. This Sunday, we're talking about Patch Adams. Joins Jerry, Jay, and Zach. We'll talk Robin Williams, and we'll talk a Patch Adams based on a true story. So that's going to be Sunday night. So this should be a pretty fun conversation. Sunday, March 24th, 6 o'clock, Patch Adams. So
that should be fun.
Other than that, man, if you want to join us on Friday, we'll be talking a little bit more basketball. We'll have a little SmackDown preview. But other than that, man, is there anything else you want to talk about before we head out of here?
Oh, no, I'm good. We talked damn near an hour about Raw.
Yeah. So a little, we were about 10 minutes late, little technical difficulties. But again, thank you guys. Episode 2 for the Sports Breakers. We'll talk more March Madness and some other storylines Friday. March 22nd, episode 3, 6:30 p.m. on another new episode, whether it be sports or movies, on the Cinnamon Movie Podcast. Have a good night, guys. Later.